Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study from Rolling Springs Baptist Church. And we are now studying in the book of Daniel, part one. And in our study, we are now on lesson number five. And this will be in chapter three of Daniel. So let us begin our class and our study today with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we begin to sit at your feet and to study your word, we ask you, Father, to teach us through your Holy Spirit that we will come to know you more, that we will be conformed to be like Jesus and live it out in our lives daily, to bring you honor and glory, Father. And we praise you, and we ask it all now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now today, as you look back over what we have studied in lessons 1 through 4, today we're coming up to another part of the study of Daniel that will give us more understanding about what a great God that we have. Now, all through the book of Daniel, from chapter 1 through chapter 12, you see the greatness, the power, and who God is. What a great and mighty God he is, and how that he uses his people, and how that he blesses those that are obedient to his word. So, looking now, we will start today, and we're going to read in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Now, remember that the Jewish people, those that were in Israel, had been taken captive by the Babylonians. And Nebuchadnezzar was king at this time. And we learned that the first group that was captured and brought included those of high official. And there was princes and those that were in authority. And of course, we know that included Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So let's read now these first seven verses in the third chapter as we continue our study. Starting with verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Now, in these first three verses, you see that King Nebuchadnezzar is doing something that is making the people to come before him, before this idol, this statue of himself, to worship. And in this, you see that there's something about him that you see in mankind today. Whenever they want people to look at them and take notice of them, and it's nothing but pride. So we're looking now at this pride that is in Nebuchadnezzar. And so this statue that he had built, it said was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. That would be 90 feet high and 6, I believe it's 6 feet. It said 6 cubits. It would be 6 feet wide. So it was a huge, huge statue. And looking back now at verse 4, it says, "Then the herald loudly proclaimed, 'Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, a zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace.' Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up." Now, let's look at some scriptures that God's Word has already written down for His people in the beginning. Remember, whenever God's people were in bondage in Exodus, they were in slavery, and in the book of Exodus, God gave some commandments to Moses that the people were to follow. And let's read Exodus 1 through 6 and see what these were. We know it's the Ten Commandments. So the first 6 verses says, "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. And you shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, of punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.'" Now, looking at this, you also see that God has spoken to the people. Remember, he said here that he brought them out of bondage when they were slaves in Egypt. And he gave them these rules, these commandments, that they were not to bow down to other gods. And here you see that God is giving them what commandments that He wants them to carry out now that they have come out of bondage. You see characteristics of God in this. First of all, he is a jealous God because he doesn't want them to worship anyone else except himself. And then he goes on to say that they're not to bow down to anyone else. So here you're beginning to see who God is. So going all through this and even going back into other scriptures, we see how that God is jealous God, that he put us here to worship him and not to worship anyone else. And as you look further in the scriptures, you see that Moses told the second generation of Israel that had come out of Egypt. The first had been killed in the wilderness for rebelling against God, and that they, when they went into the land of promise, these that were allowed to go in the land, they should hold fast to the Lord and keep his commandments. So this is in Deuteronomy 4, verses 25 through 31. So here we see that God said that he would bless them and continue to carry them into the promised land that he had promised for them. But he also stated that if they became corrupt and made idols and did evil in the eyes of the Lord, then that they would be punished. And so, going to the book of Ezekiel, we see how that God says to Ezekiel, the prophet, to prophesy to the people. And here we're looking at Ezekiel 23, verses 28 through 35. And I'll read these quickly so that we can see how that God is God and he is in control and that he loves his people. And as long as they are obeying him, he's going to bless them. So starting with verse 28, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says." He's saying this to Ezekiel. "I am about to deliver you into the hands of those you hate, to those you turned away from in disgust, and they will deal with you in hatred and take away everything you've worked for. They will leave you stark naked, and the shame of your prostitution will be exposed. Your lewdness and promiscuity have brought this on you, because you lusted after the nations and defiled yourself with the idols. You have gone the way of your sister, so I will put her cup into your hand. This is what the sovereign Lord says. You will drink from your sister's cup, a large and deep, a cup large and deep. It will bring scorn and derision, for it holds so much. You will be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, the cup of ruin and dissolution. The cup of your sister Samaria, you will drink of it and drain it dry and chew on its pieces, and you will tear your breast. I have spoken, declares the sovereign God. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Since you have forgotten me and turned your back on me, you must bear the consequences of your lewdness and prostitution." So, what is he saying here to Ezekiel to speak to the people? Here in the study of Ezekiel, Israel and Judah were portrayed as sisters who had become harlots. And Ezekiel, the man of God, stated that Israel was adulterous since the days they lived in Egypt. And so Israel, the northern kingdom, whose capital was Samaria, was called Aholah. And she went after the Assyrians, and they eventually turned against her. And then in 722 B.C., the last tribes of the northern kingdom were taken into a captivity by Assyria. Now, Judah Remember, at this time, the land of Israel was divided into two kingdoms. It was a kingdom, the northern was Israel, and the southern was Judah. And it says, Judah, the southern kingdom, who was called Aholabah, saw what happened to her sister with the Assyrians, but became worse in adultery than Israel, and some of her kings even sacrificed their children. So, even though God warned these people, these Jewish people in Judah, that the Chaldeans, or that are Babylonians, would come against and judge her according to their customs, that they would even cut off their nose and ears, as was their common captivity. So Judah forgot God, and he wouldn't pay the penalty, and they were going to have to pay the penalty for worshiping idols. And see, this is what happened. The reason that we're studying in the book of Daniel of why that God had to have his people taken into captivity by the Babylonians. So here we're seeing God and who he is. And through what we have seen already, we see that God is a jealous God. He is a consuming fire, and that he is also a God of compassion. And then we're going to see now in what is happening, or what is going to happen. We have looked at these first verses in the book of Daniel, and now we're going to read in Daniel. We're going further in chapter 3, verses 8 through 18. And we're going to see how that there was defiance. Remember, in the first verses, King Nebuchadnezzar had set up this giant statue, and everyone was to bow down. It was a statue of himself, and all the people were to bow down and worship him. And so we're going to see that there is defiance. And let's read these verses, and then we'll discuss them. Daniel 8, chapter 3. At this time, some astrologers came forth and denounced the Jews. And they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews among you who have set over the affairs, you have set them over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pays no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing, what?
a blazing furnace. That then when God will, then what God will be able to rescue from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. So let's look at these verses and see what they are all about. The king has been enticed through all of his pride to set up this idol of gold. And all the people all over, it says, the earth were to come and fall down and to worship this idol. And we already know that this idol was not to be worshiped by those that worshiped God. We read earlier how that God had given the commandments that the people were to only worship him. And so here we see that there had to be great courage and boldness from these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that are refusing to bow down. And this has been reported to the king, to King Nebuchadnezzar. And when you go back and look at chapter 1 of Daniel, you remember how that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had refused to eat the king's food because it was against the teaching of their Bible, of the old commandments, that they were not to eat certain foods because it was defiled. So now, here are these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they are saying to the king that we will not bow down to this idol because we are going to abide by the commandments that God has given us, and those commandments we read earlier that are in the book of Exodus, that they grew up to know and follow, that they were to worship God only, and they were not to bow down to idols. So, here we see in all of this that the king, remember, he had made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a part of his people that were of high rank. They were given authority in his kingdom. Remember, in the beginning, they were for 3 years trained to be strong. They were to be taught the language of the land. They were to be learn all about Babylon. And those that were chosen, the highest in all their learning, were chosen by the king to be part of his kingdom. And so now he's having to speak to them because they are saying that they're not going to bow down to his God. And so he is very, it says, furious with rage. And so he's saying to them, he's giving them another chance. In other words, he's saying, okay, now when you hear the sound of all the music, be ready to bow down. And he says, But if you don't bow down, then you're going to be placed in this furnace of fire. And so the reply that they gave was, they replied, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God, our God, will serve, who we serve, is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold set up by you. So they didn't have to think about it, did they? Their minds were made up even before the decree had gone out. They had made up their minds that they would serve God only, and they would worship him only. So that puts a question to us today as believers. Do we have to think about the things that we face that puts us against God, against serving him first and above all things? Do we have to think about it? Are our minds already made up as their minds were? This is a good question to ask yourself today as believers. If we are truly following God, if we're true believers and we're servants of the Lord Jesus, then there should be no question to know that we have the same answer that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had, that we know that he will carry us through whatever we have to face in all of this earth time that we're here. And if he doesn't bring us through it, he is going to give us life everlasting with him. So let's continue now and just look at some scripture that it tells us in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians and Colossians. We see some scriptures that talks about worshiping idols. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, adultery and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And Paul says to the Galatians, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So these are the things that Paul has written down by the Word of God that we today as believers must remember and not to act upon, because we will be defying it. And it was more than adultery, as you see. Now in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11, here we see that Paul says to the Colossians, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to you earthly, your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of a creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ in all and is in all. So in the New Testament, in the scriptures, Paul said to put away these things that he had mentioned earlier that the Galatians were doing. He said, these are things that you used to do before you come to know Christ. So this just gives us scripture that tells us then that we are not to worship idols, and it gives many more things. Now, let's go back to Daniel chapter 3, and let's see what is taking place, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego has refused to bow down, and now the king is going to have to carry out the decree he has made. So starting with verse 8 through 18. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews, and they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews that you have set over the affairs of Babylon, Meshach and Abednego and Shadrach." So we saw in these verses, and I'm not going to read further because we need to go, I think I'm repeating myself. We needed to go to, we went through verse 18, and so we need to go forward here into verse 19, because Nebuchadnezzar, in those verses through 18, had made the decree. So let's see what in 19 through 27. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed, and he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. So here we see in these verses that the king had the order carried out, and they were tied up, and these men of the king, his officials, the furnace was so hot that whenever they got close enough to throw the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were caught up in the flames and the heat and destroyed. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the furnace, and they were there in that blazing fire. And look at verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, excuse me, and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that was tied up and threw into the fire?" And they replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." And he, the king, said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." So here we see that the king can look in and see not only are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego still there walking around, But in the midst of them, there's another person walking with them, and he says it looks like the son of the gods. Now, the scripture doesn't say that this was Christ, but we know that God was with him, and we know that he says that he will never leave nor forsake his own. So who is it that we know that saved us from our sins? It was Jesus Christ. So who would save them? None other than Jesus Christ, because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God himself. So now let's look at the rest of this study. Nebuchadnezzar, then, this is verse 26, approached, the king approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So here, Nebuchadnezzar, he is recognizing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are servants. And he is saying, of your Most High God. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the royal advisors crowded around them, and they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell on them. So God not only protected them from the fire, it was as if they had not even been near a fire. You know, you can go outside and if someone's burning leaves or burning trash or something, and if you get where that smoke can saturate you and you walk away to someone else, then they can smell the smoke because it goes into your clothes. But they didn't even have the smell of smoke. God had enclosed them with his great arm of love and mercy, and even protected their clothes that they wore, that there was no smell of fire on them. What a great and mighty God that we have. Almighty God. Let's finish up this study in chapter 3 with verses 28 through 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent an angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other god can save in this way." And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, I want us to notice something in this. All through this, Nebuchadnezzar says, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." He never says that he believes in the God. He never says that I want this God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be my God. That's what he says, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach." And then when he made the decree that the people of any nation or language, they were not to say anything against, he says, against who? The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He is never professing that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was his God that he now believed, but he was making a decree that everyone was not to say anything against him. He never made the decree that they're to worship, but not to make a decree against him. And then he, you might say, promoted by giving them he did promote them. He gave them a higher rank in his kingdom, the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. But we know that they held the highest rank above the king's kingdom. Their rank was in the kingdom of God, which is the highest kingdom in the world. And you know, we studied that in the beginning, in all the kingdoms, Babylonian and the Grecian, the Medes, the Persian, the Romans, and then the final kingdom is going to be set up. It'll be the God, be the kingdom of Jesus himself, which is God's kingdom. And that's the kingdom they belong to. And through all of this, you can see how that God is in power and he has all authority. He blesses and he gives decrees. So there are certain things that we need to look at in this. A report was made to the king that the three men didn't bow, and then the report enraged the king, and since they held high positions, but he still gave them a second chance. And so here in this, we see how that God blessed those that carried out his commands and worshiped him and put no others. So we need to look at our own lives. We need to see if we are carrying out God's plans. Are we faithful to our God? We are worshiping the same God that Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel worship. You read in the Word of God that was written down by the finger of God. And today, when we look at the scriptures all the way from Genesis through Revelation, we have to remember that we too are worshiping the same God, and so that he is going to protect us. He's going to bless us. And we need to give him praise and honor because there is no other God. So we will complete this study today and until next week. And then next week we will go into lesson 6, which will be chapter 4. So let us close out today in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faithful saints in the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament, up to this very time, that have been so faithful to you and to your word. And Father, we ask you to give us the strength and the courage to carry out that same faith. Help us, Father, to draw close to you and to see what a great and mighty God that you are. And that your word will be carried out just as you have planned it to be. And we want to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And thank you that we are your children. And we know that you will take us through any fiery furnace that we go through here in this life, and that you will bring us through till you call us home to be with you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.